You have potentially three elections in the next 11 months.
Yes.
You're a pretty busy guy right now.
Yeah. You know, things are going 100 miles an hour right now. It's everything. It's everything from fundraising to, you know, working on buying our signs to getting the right people in place. And so it is a mad dash, but every campaign is. And so it's been a lot of fun so far.
Were you surprised when Henry decided to leave office early?
Absolutely. I think that I was at City Hall on my way out of the building to a meeting, and of course somebody knew and texted me, you know, hey, in the next 2 hours Henry's going to announce his resignation, and I was absolutely stunned because I knew that it changed the entire dynamic of this race and really for the better.
There's some people out there who say this gives you a big advantage because Republicans fare better in a non-general election format. What do you think about that?
I think they're absolutely right. I mean, you have only to look a few years ago with Senator Andy Vidak, who was able to capture his seat in a special election. And so there is precedent for it. And you know, a lot of folks say, Clint, the 31st Assembly is a Democrat seat. Why would you run for a Democrat seat? When in fact the opposite is true. Sure, there have been Democrats in the seat for a long time. But going back to Vidak, this AD 31 is actually represented by Senator Vidak, Senator Canella, Congressman Valadao, three Republicans. And so to me, the Democrat is the anomaly. And it's a Republican area because these people, my neighbors and my friends, vote the candidate, not the party. So I'm very hopeful.
You're also introducing yourself to a whole new group of voters. Certainly people in Fresno Metro are familiar with you through your time on the city council, also your time as a broadcast journalist. But going out to Mendota or Firebaugh, they face challenges that may be similar in some ways, but also might be different than some of your problems your constituents face in the middle of the city.
That's true. But you talk about my days as a broadcast journalist. I covered Mendota. I covered the drought in the mid-2000s. I covered the water wars. I covered the birth of the Tea Party, which sprung up in our area really around the lack of water and the water wars. I've been to the shanty towns in our community and out by Mendota. I have a very good perspective of what's going on in our outlying communities. I have good relationships with people who live there and our food producers. So, yeah, I'm an inner city Fresno guy, but I'm a Valley guy, and I've been on the ground for many years. And so, I don't think I could run for this seat and sound intelligent and articulate if I were totally new to this area and to this process.
You talked to some of your colleagues on the Fresno City Council, not about you, but just in general, the experience of being on the council, being in elective office is really an eye-opener for a lot of them. How have you changed this personally, your time being a broadcast journalist, now seeing how government works from the inside?
I think the Fresno City Council in many ways is a war zone. We're a one media market community, and it's not like LA where you can run for assembly from Huntington Beach or Redondo Beach and call a press conference to have people come and cover you and no one show up. I mean, here in the city of Fresno, being a one media market community, you can call a press conference about a city of Fresno related issue and everyone shows up. We've got NPR, we've got the affiliates, the newspaper and talk radio all show up. You're in the spotlight. And so to answer your question, being on the Fresno City Council hasn't mellowed me because I'm still a passionate fighter for neighborhoods and for people, but it has taught me to be more pragmatic, to see things in a long-term strategy. When you're in media, like what we're doing now, you're going to assemble these raw materials, your interview, and this goes out over the air. And as soon as it goes out over the air, I mean, now we have the internet, but as soon as it goes out over the air, it's consumed, it's done. And that's what I was used to professionally in my career. You do a news story, it's done. I mean, you follow the same story for a period of time, but once it goes out over the air, it's gone into the ether. In politics, You have to see things long term. Someone can vote against you on the city council, make you very, very angry, but you're going to need that person a little bit further down the road. So it's prepared me for a life in Sacramento advocating for this area, because with the new 12-year term limits, relationships are key. People aren't just going up there and saying, shoot, I got to get done as much as I possibly can because I only have 4 more years. Now you've got Republicans, you know, maybe chairing a committee. You've got Republicans at night going to Democrat events because people are building relationships. That's what I learned here in the city of Fresno.
What are your thoughts on the issue of fiscal management in Sacramento? Governor Brown released his budget. He's trying to sound a word of caution. Brown is saying we have to be ready for the next recession, which could be right around the corner. Yet there's a temptation, and this is a similar thing to, I imagine, what you face at City Hall and what you'll be facing later this year at City Hall. As revenues increase, there's a desire to spend that money because it's hard to argue against a lot of these things that are services.
This sounds to me like deja vu all over again. And that's because Governor Brown is to the legislature what Mayor Ashley Swearingen is to the city council. One of the big debates we've had on the Fresno City Council is the reserve fund. How much do we put in reserves? It's important to put money into reserves at the state municipal level for a rainy day. But it's also important to put money in reserves, at least in Fresno, because it improves our credit rating. So if we ever have a large project, we have to go out and get a loan for it. A better credit rating means a better interest rate, which means savings to the taxpayer. It's also important to have it because, let's face it, economic recovery never goes on forever. So we're going to see a recession or some kind of stymied growth here pretty soon. And so if there's a rainy day fund, I mean, the answer is obvious that there's a backstop. So the debate on the city council oftentimes is, well, we need this and we need that. And those things are needed. Tree trimming and potholes are needed. But money needs to be saved. Same thing in the state. I think the governor wants to up the rainy day fund, the reserves, to $8 billion. That's fantastic. But we're talking about a state general fund in this budget. It's $122 billion. And so $8 billion, that's a drop in the bucket. I'm thankful that Governor Brown resurfaced when he did. I think that he was the right guy at the right time to get California out of the Great Recession, an awful economic time. And so while I have beef with Governor Brown on a number of other issues, I think that I absolutely support what he's trying to do when he wants to increase the reserves. And I would be a voice for that kind of fiscal responsibility in Sacramento.
Speaking of beefs with Governor Brown, high-speed rail has to be one of them. What do you do with that?
Well, you quit building it is one of the things you could do. No.
Some people would say that's short-sighted.
You know, here's my take on high-speed rail. I have grave concerns about this project and what it could mean for the state. So does our progressive Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom and other Democrats. That being said, you ask me how I've changed since I've been on city council. I think that when I first came in, I was more brash, maybe a little pig-headed. But I have learned that your constituents demand really one thing, and your constituents demand that you have a seat at the table to represent their interests. So high-speed rail is one of these learning points in my life. There was a time last year where they did the little rail. Instead of doing a ribbon cutting, everybody got a Sharpie and signed a stretch of rail. And so I went down to this rally that they had in downtown Fresno, and I was not on the guest list. I'm an elected official. I would say I'm a fairly prominent member of the Fresno City Council. People let me into things. And I thought I would just go in and observe, not heckle or make a spectacle of myself, but just to kind of, you know, see the governor and the mayor and the whole thing take place with a journalist's curiosity. And I went over there and I wasn't on the guest list and they would not let me in. The folks from the authority had instructions, don't let anybody in who's not on the guest list. And I watched for a couple of minutes before going on my way. I watched through the fence what was going on. And it was a learning experience for me because while I still oppose the project and I still have grave concerns about the project, as the assembly member from District 31, the train goes through my district. My constituents are demanding that I have a seat at the table as we hash this out and move forward with this, whether the project goes or it stops, whether the project is blowing money or whether the project is fiscally responsible. If I'm going to be an effective watchdog and if I'm going to be an effective advocate, I have to be at the table. And that's the direction that I have learned. I had an awakening, and that's the direction that I'm going in. By no means do I sanction what they're doing. I do not like the project because it's risky and I'm concerned. But I absolutely need to be pragmatic and temper my feelings with a good dose of reality, which is I have to serve my constituents and I want to have a seat at that table as we move forward.
Fresno City Councilmember Clint Olivier is a candidate for the vacant seat in the 31st Assembly District. Clint, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me in.